Father God, we just come down, bow down rather to you, submit to your will. You are Lord of all. We are the sheep of your pasture. We belong to you. And that's good news.
Yes, it is.
And because we do, you are our shepherd, protector, provider, and guide. And because of that, concerning spiritual things, we will never lack. That's good news. We thank you for this opportunity to congregate around your word, fellowship around your word, to come in with hungry hearts, starving souls in a sense, meaning we want to eat and eat heartily of your word this evening. Let us eat your word, let us ingest and then digest your word, that it may become the joy and the rejoicing of our hearts.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Have your way in this service on this day. This is your thing. Do what you want to do. And you will. Whoever you want to, you'll sock it to them. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Keep praying for me. Because I can't tell them who to sock it to. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I think I have permission from the Holy Ghost to kind of go off script today, just for a moment at least. We really haven't gone off script for the most part the entire pandemic. And the Lord has gotten some pertinent things to us that we need to hear and just be, you know, just stay on point with that. But I think he's going to allow it a little bit today. And so I want to read something that Miss Sister April gave me this afternoon in a text. She's reading through the book of Jonah. And she's reading a commentary. And if you can find the right commentary, I'm big on commentary. Really big on finding the right thing, the right teaching in it. You can find some, just like anything else, you can find some messed up books, messed up commentaries, but be discerning when you do run across it. But this is golden in Jesus' name. It reads, despite the narrative's focus on the prophet, talking about Jonah, the book of Jonah is a story about the mercy and love of God. That's true in a mighty way, because Jonah was determined not to do God's will. The Lord was the God of Israel, and that nation had been the special recipient of his covenant mercy and salvation, 100%. We are spiritual Israel, and we are the recipient of his covenant grace and mercy. Amen.
Yeah.
But Jonah, comma, along with many of his countrymen, comma, had responded with a national pride and ethnic particularism that blinded him to the grand scope of God's grace. Wow. That's a word for us today. National pride and ethnic particularism. If there ever is a time for us to be aware of this national pride and this ethnic particularism, this is that time. Because we don't want that to blind us to the grand scope of God's grace, his glory, and his mercy. The devil, Satan, is the most subtle beast of the field. And if we're not discerning, meaning if we are not letting the Holy Spirit coach us, guide us, lead us, direct us in all of our ways, we will find ourselves thinking like everyone else, as if we are mere unchanged humans. Mm-hmm. Ethnic particularism and national pride certainly have the potential to blind us of the grand scheme of God's grace and glory. And we must be careful. That's why real soon, and you're not, it's not mandatory, I would highly advise you attend, but I want to have a town hall, if you will, because we need, as your pastor, I feel obligated to make sure that you have your biblical glasses on and look only through those as you approach this political election year and not be blinded by all the stuff that's going on. And there's a lot of stuff going on out here. And not be blinded by that. We are children of the Most High God. Amen. And our thinking is supposed to be different. Our understanding is supposed to be different. And when I say different, I mean biblical, scriptural, in line with God's word. We're not to let our ethnic group pressure us into thinking and believing differently or other than the word of God. And that's a word for all of us in here. Red, brown, yellow, black, or white. You're not to let your particular ethnic group pigeonhole you, corner you into thinking something other than the word of God. Stand on the word and don't budge. Lose all friends. Lose all family. Stand on the word. That's what Jesus was saying. Foes, enemies, maybe they're of your own household. He said that. If you dare to name the name of Jesus, if you dare to stand on the word of God, you may lose family members as your friends and acquaintances. You may lose co-workers. You may end up being an example of Luke, I think it was, where they ostracize you and hate you and snub you and to scorn your name as evil because you dare stand firmly planted on the word of God. It is necessary. I mean, I pray that everybody attends. That's something I'm not going to, I mean, we may need, I'm going to be in prayer about that, whether or not we do that online, because I may help a whole lot of folks out. But we really need to not fall for the Kool-Aid. And many Christians are falling for the Kool-Aid. We should call it back in the day, falling for the okey-doke. Smokescreen and mirrors. We have to understand that unjust murder is unjust murder no matter who commits it. And that's a hard thing that folks just don't want to hear. It's bad when the police does it. It's bad when a civilian does it. Because God sees unjust murder as just that, an unjust murder. He doesn't care about the ethnicity or the particular role, if you will, that a particular person is playing in a sense. If it's unjust, it's unjust. You unjustly took a life. But we're not there yet. Many of us are not there yet to understand that. And being unlearned, to undo what society has cemented in our thinking, it's going to take some jackhammer Holy Ghost teaching on the word of God. Because even though we've been talking like this for probably the last 3 years, 4 years, back when President Trump first came into office, we did a preaching on that. Trying to get folks to understand the two Biden and Trump, they're just figureheads of a party. If you look at like two gangs, this is the leader of this gang, it's the leader of this gang. Get past the figurehead and look at the agenda. And see which one matches to the word of God. I spoke that 4 years too. Look, let the word of God guide you. And not national pride or ethnic particularism. That would preach, but not in most churches. Amen. Having said that, let's open up, let's continue with our series on joy in the midst of troubles, hardships. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Got real quiet there, real quiet. Always does. I do consider myself a revolutionary. And I love it. I embrace it. Because as long as I'm standing on the word of God and not giving opinions and theories and philosophies, I'm good. You're going to anger people. I know that. You're going to anger people. Even those of the same ethnicity, they're going to not be crazy about it. You know, I'm not a popular person. If black folk knew what I thought and how I believe in the word of God, I wouldn't be a popular person. I didn't even realize, I told you, I guess I told you Sunday, that I'm a black conservative. I didn't even know what I was. That, not that that's any big deal, but I'm a Christian, and by nature, you're going to be a conservative. Because the word of God is strict, no holds barred, there's no wiggle room. Sin is sin, is sin, is sin. That alone makes you a conservative. Well, we'll refer to as Uncle Tom and things of that nature, but I would love to sit down and discuss with the person who feels that way. Because that would give me a chance to break forth the gospel. What thus saith the Lord. Be a revolutionary. Dare to stand on God's word. In the face of being ostracized, and face of being hated and scorned, laughed at and ridiculed, stand firm on the word. You're not standing on opinion. You're not standing on theory and philosophy. You're saying on the word of God. What the problem is that the word isn't taught this way in this context. We want to skirt this, we want to just sidestep it, and this is being sidestepped on purpose. I think I told you Sunday of the black preacher who speaks out against abortion from the word of God as a pastor, but then when he wears his councilman hat, whatever hat he has in public life, he is for abortion. How are you going to take off the hats like that? In the pulpit, this is a sin and this is murder. Going to the city council meeting, well, if they have an abortion, then poverty is probably at the root of it because, they decided they couldn't take care of the baby. Like I was telling my wife today, poverty didn't have sex with you. It wasn't poverty that made you do that. Poverty comes into play after the baby, after you conceive. How about addressing what caused that to happen? Amen. Let's define joy again. Joy is a deep down sense of well-being, comfort, security, safety, that abides deep in the heart of the person who knows with settled assurance and absolute confidence all is well, everything is well between himself and the Lord. Why? Because God grants and credits, reading again from the Heidelberg Catechism, grants and credits to us the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, as if we had never sinned or been a sinner. As if we had been perfectly obedient, just as Jesus Christ was obedient on our behalf. Boy, oh boy, when you understand that God treats you that way, some people are scared to teach that because they say, you're giving the Christians a license to sin. If God already counts us as if, we have not sinned and no longer a sinner because of what Jesus has done, then I can just live any kind of way. If that's your thinking, I question your salvation. Because with salvation comes a great desire to want to obey God. That's one of the proofs that you're saved. If that's your thinking, I question whether or not you are saved. Because all I want to do is please God. And when I don't please him, I'm messed up. And if you are born again, you ought to be too. That's why those of you who just take deep breath after deep breath, shake your head and so forth, which y'all major in that, which I love. Because you were shaking your head on this and just shaking your head. That's what it ought to be. It ought to be slapping you, busting your head constantly. Toe crushing. Because we're falling short, falling short, falling short in our mind. Falling short in our love. Do we yet love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength? Have we loved with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength for 1 second in our whole entire life? Maybe, I don't know, but if all, it ain't been much more than a second. So what is that? We're sinning every day. When we just say something crazy to anyone that's out of order, we're not loving that neighbor, because that neighbor that you're interacting with in the store, on the street, in another country, that's your neighbor. And when you mistreat them, you are in sin. I am in sin. We are in sin at that very moment. Our goal is to understand why we were created, which is to be conformed to the image of his son, meaning that we are to look like Jesus here on earth. We are his representation here on earth. We are here in Christ's stead, and we're to look like him. So our goal and our direction and the objective of our very existence is Christ, meaning to look like him, think like him. Remember, we have the mind of Christ, to act like him, to love like him, to be compassionate like him, to be patient like him, to love others as he loved us. So we don't get a pass because God, in his great mercy, in his infinite grace and love, grants to us the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. Don't take advantage of it. That's your thinking, I'm going to take advantage of that. It ought to be, how can I live more for you? This is way too much. This is much more than I can even bear to even stand. You're too good. How can I serve you more? That's ought to be the attitude. I got to do better. You've done all of that for me? Wow, but I'm giving you half this and half of that, what amounts to blind sheep and goats that like they were given in Malachi. Giving them your half and your worst, saving the best of your animals for yourself. No, Lord, we thank you that you granted unto us and treat us as though we've never sinned or even been a sinner. It is amazing that you can put on Jesus' glasses and everyone you look at who's born again looks like Jesus. That's amazing. That's humbling. Not, oh, it's cool, I can just do what I want to do. But boy, I mean, like just falling out on your knee like, wow, this is too much. And when you think and receive it as it was meant to be, all is well. Like, man, you really aren't mad at me. Your wrath is really, it really has been lifted because of the blood of Jesus. Wow. It is a throne of grace. Wow. And you really are telling me, I mean, commanding me to come boldly to the throne of grace. You're commanding me to say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Wow. That's what the problem is that we don't know who God is. And I've been saying that for 20 years. Rerun statement again. For the first 2 years of Word of Life, we didn't sing any songs. We just prayed and opened up the Bible. Why? How can you sing a song and worship somebody you don't know? That's fake worship. And unfortunately, that's going on in churches all across the world. I don't know who God is. They're singing because we sing at the beginning of the service. This is what we do. No other reason. You don't know. Live life all kind of crazy out there. Come in here, just grab a book and start singing a song. There's no lifestyle of worship. Were you worshiping him? The plan is you worshiping him with your life all day, every day. And when you come in here corporately, we just raise the roof. Yes, amen. Just blow the doors off. Yes, but we're so distracted. God is so not the center of our life. To live is the us and not Christ. So to die has no great significance because you don't want to get there with him. You don't care about being with him. All you care about is what you trying to get down here. Try the prosperity. I just got to watch my words. They have done great damage, but I am convinced that they are here in the millions is because of God's judgment. Just like in the days of Noah, my spirit is no longer going to strive with you. I'm not going to keep trying to hold you back and tell you to do the right thing. You want itching ears? You want weak and Christianity light? I'm moving out the way. You can have it. It's judgment against those who don't want the truth. That's what I believe. It's the passive wrath of God. It's always wondered, why are these prosperity folks just in the millions? They're all over TV. They're all over the world. Judgment. That's what you wanted. You want to stack up heaping teachers who are going to speak what you want to hear. And you're shutting down the truth. Let us not ever be numbered amongst that group in Jesus' name. The rest of the catechism goes on to say, now as we stand before God, he will see us not only as one whose sin has been taken away, but as one who is in Christ sinless. Not only has it been taken away. See, there's two parts to that. I'm just now really understanding the two parts of it. Jesus took away our sin, but he just didn't leave us like that. Think about it. We come before the Lord God, right? And we're coming before him in dirty, tattered, smelly clothes, right? Our own sin and filth. Now, what God does is takes all those clothes off, and we're standing, naked before God. Now, God then just doesn't walk away and said, okay, now go out and get some clothes for yourself. What does he do? Come on, preacher, who said that? That's right. He clothes us.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory be to God. He didn't leave us naked. He took away our sin and clothed us in his righteousness. This is just too much. How can we just go ahead and just live our lives as if he doesn't even exist? Or as if he's done nothing for us? What a shame. Shame on us if we do that. Shame on us. You've done all that, and all I'm gonna give you is just junk and garbage. Take your blind sheep and goats and get them out of here. That's what he told him. He said, I'm not even gonna accept your worship in Malachi. We can do better. You know that. I know that. We know that. If you're honest with yourself and you truly have been born again, you know and I know we can do better. Amen. Who's stopping you? Not the devil. See, the good news, that's why it's such good news. It's not the devil. It's not God. No angel. No demon. No person. It's you. It's me. It's us. When we look in the mirror, we've just located the enemy. And quiet as is kept, Michael Jackson's song, the underlying theme behind that song, I'm starting with the man in the mirror, that is 100% scriptural.
Amen.
You ought to ask him to change his ways. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make that change. Pray for me, David. Spirit of the Lord is in this place. I feel him. Excuse my charismatic. He's here and he's telling us we need to do better. And I'm going to tell you something. To whom much is given, much is required. 07, 09, right? 2000. Y'all even in the mid-90s. We all know Nicole and Mr. Denise, mid-90s. Mm-hmm. Early 90s, maybe. Okay. We have no excuse. Yes. He's equipped us for. Yes. Given us the capacity, the ability, and the power. And real teaching. He ain't up here playing. That's why he's on us so tough. I thank God we talk about sin all the time. I thank God about that. One person left the church because we talked about sin. So she told me, "Seems like every time you preach, I feel like I'm just not saved." Hello? Is this thing on? Yeah, hello? How about maybe the Holy Ghost is telling you something? You've been in church 20 years and you still feel that way after 20 years? Then that means something is going on. God is trying to tell you something right now. Listen to him. In the day that you hear his voice, harden not your heart. But she hardened it. She said, "I can't take it. I'm gone. Folks have left this church. I thank God for the ridicule that I have received because of teaching the word of God. You're too strict. You're just brainwashing us. It don't take all that. It takes all this and more. Do you see what's out there? Yes. That's the problem. Now, the lie is it don't take all that. It ain't that deep. Just calm down. That's from Satan. Because the calmer you get, the lighter you make your gospel, the less power it has to really change and to keep the people of God. That's exactly where he wants you. Because when you walk out there, you don't have any defense against all of that that's out there. I thank God that he's made me a pastor for such a time as this. I thank God for Blanchett Middle School because it grew me up. I had no idea we'd be facing stuff like this. Had no idea that when we walked into Blanchett 20, 30 years ago, it would be because we're going to get you ready for times like this. Revolutionaries, they are born by the Holy Ghost. You can best believe that. I was nowhere near a revolutionary. Just let no be a possibility, and I'm running from it. You ain't got to laugh, Miss Harris. Just let conflict be on the horizon. It ain't even had to reach me, Miss Darlene. Just the fact that it was a possibility, I'm going the other way. Hey, Greg, where you going? Man, there's conflict coming. It ain't even here. May not even be conflict. I don't know, man. I ain't sticking around to find out. The day the Lord put me in Blanchett was December. JR just left, so I didn't get to teach him. He just left that like the month before. Students in eighth grade were driving to school because they had failed several times. They were driving to school. It was the worst scenario that you could ever imagine. When God sets out to make revolutionaries, you're going to go through some hard times. And you got to stay in that hard place until he forges you. And then you come out like gold. I wouldn't trade Blanchett for nothing in the world. I don't ever want to go through that again ever in the world. But I wouldn't trade it for nothing. That's why you got to stay in Babylon, Miss April. Stay in Babylon. In the halls of academe, very arrogant, those are folks you want to just, I thought to say take outside and beat them, but you want to knock them in here really right away. Forget going outside, in front of cameras and everything. But they grow you, they sanctify you. Sister Rolanda has been saying it for years. Marriage is another thing that grows you, sanctifies you. Because you're in close quarters with a whole different culture. Whole different culture. Revolutionaries are forged in the furnace. Period. You need to ask yourself, especially during this time, am I a revolutionary? And you need to look in the mirror and say, I am a revolutionary for you, Christ Jesus. Now help me to walk it and not give in. Help me to be like Paul, knowing he was going before Nero, gearing himself up saying, you know what, I'm not going to give in. I know death awaits because this dude is crazy, but help me not to crumble under the pressure even of death. See, we like the all is well part, enjoy, but we don't like the other part. We just like the all is well part between me and God. Yep, as if now, okay, now I get to just kick back at, no, you get to live the fact that all is well. See, because you're righteous, now you must live a life of sanctification that shows that you're righteous. You don't just get to put on the clothes and walk around and say, oh, look at me. Now it's time to live out righteous living, holy living. Does that make sense? He didn't clothe you just to be clothed. He clothed you so now you can be, walk it out. Now you're my representative. Go out there and act like it. Think like it. Speak like it. And be bold, be strong. For I, the Lord your God, am with you. And that's a word for somebody in here, maybe a few bodies in here. Be bold, be strong. Remember that the Lord your God, he's with you. Be in prayer about it. I've always wanted to do open air preaching in Lemoyne or in Denby. I've been in prayer about it. I want you all to join me in prayer about it. Well, we'll just go. And Pastor DeJuan is going to join us. And we'll just go to a spot and preach the gospel. Just go and preach. But I want to go in his timing and in his strength. But it's getting near that time, I think, to do something like that. Just go and preach the gospel. Nothing fancy, no hot dogs, no nothing. Just go preach the gospel. We'll give them the real good food. Some soul food. So be in prayer about that, because I'm feeling that. I thank God for the boldness to do it. I just thank God for the transformation. I thank God y'all didn't know me when I was softer than melted marshmallow. It's bad enough to just be soft as a marshmallow, but a melted one is even softer than that. Let's go to James, please, chapter 1. I don't know. That's almost time. Sister April wrote in her text, she said, as we wrote about the national pride and ethnic particularism, she said, it sounds so like some of our brothers and sisters in Christ as they focus more on rights and politics than the glory of God. Absolutely. Father, come help us. Amen. We need your help. Believe me.
Where are we supposed to turn to?
James chapter 1. Father, help us. Help us, Father, to Be discerning of the most subtle beast of the field. He is subtle. So slick. So sly. So cunning. As he devises schemes and tricks to try to get your people to fall for his okey-doke. But Father God, this is your church. And you said upon the rock, this rock, you will build your church, and the gates of hell, even death itself, will not prevail against it. You're building your church. And I thank you that you're filling it with real revolutionaries. For real, for real. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In the few moments that we have, as you well know, we mentioned it time and time and time again about being persecuted, being cast aside, being thrown down, being forsaken, being hated and ostracized, insulted and scorned, sneered at, disrespected, even your very character comes under fire. But let it be for the sake of the Son of God. And that's where the root of rejoicing comes in. When you know that you're doing this for the Lord's sake, because you would not kowtow, you would not back up, you would not give in, and they ostracize you and hate you and insult you, you can rejoice. Can you see why? Like, okay, hey, I didn't do anything wrong. I stood on the word. And I'm rejoicing because I'm suffering for you, Lord Jesus. Just as you suffered for us on our behalf. And Jesus said, the world hated you. He said, know that when the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. So you're in good company. Please receive it. Please receive it. Stand firm. And what I beg of you is to please get closer to your Father. Know who he is. You do that by getting into his word, meditating his word, and above all, obeying his word. Look at 1 John chapter 2. Look at 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2. Father God, help us to know you, to know you, to know you. Look at verse 3. By this we know that we have come to know him. You know how you hear that? You know that you know? I love that. This is how we know that we know him. If we pray and fast and speak in tongues and just go and start revivals and church plants and no. Simple, simple, simple. I was tripped out when I found out simple as well, because I'm thinking that it was all of these things to get to know the Lord. He simply says, if we keep his commandments, that's it. This is how we know. I'm reading from the Amplified. And this is how we may discern daily by experience that we are coming to know him, to perceive, recognize, understand, and become better acquainted with him. Don't you want that? Amen. I know I do. How? If we keep, bear in mind, observe his teachings, practice his precepts and commandments. It's lifestyle. It's really not that hard. I'm talking about understanding it. You can know the Lord by simply obeying daily, constantly, consistently, and continually his commands. You'll get to know him. You get closer to him. And you'll find out, man, your stuff is going to fall off. I'm a living witness. As you learn more and you obey more and you seek more, you'll find out your agenda, you yourself, all about you, begins to go further and further to the back burner. I liken it with a stovetop that has 100 burners on it, and you're on burner 98, and God is up front. Get on out the way. Let the gentleman do his thing. Get out of the way. You don't matter anyway. Oh, we don't like that. But you don't. I don't. We don't. And thank God we don't matter. I mean, if we're in the front of our life, what can I do? Well, who can I save? Who can I bring to Christ? I can't decide to use me to go and bring somebody, but God can decide to use me to bring somebody to Christ. Amen. Don't you want him in charge? Amen. Glory be to God. He's the power. Let's not be like 2 Timothy 3, that those who are checking things out externally, but denying the power thereof. They want to look like a Christian, but don't want to really get into the real meat of things. They don't want to know God. Get closer to him, saints of God. Get to know him. Get to know him. Get to know him. Obey everything. Try to obey everything. You can tighten up starting tonight. Where can I get better? Show me where I need to get better. Have mercy though. Have mercy, just show me one area. Don't show me everything. Yes, yes. Cause then you have to keep me from committing suicide. Like, man, I'm that bad? Wow. Yeah. The dark guest within. You can't get rid of that dude. Not until you die. That flesh is nasty. Father God, we need you. We need you. We need you. I thank you. You told us in your word in Hebrews to come boldly to the throne of grace. I love it in Hebrews. He said that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Help us. Help us to be conformed to the image of your dear Son. In Jesus' name, amen.